Welcome to Metaphysical Romp with Reverend Paul Hasselbeck and co-host Reverends Bill Holton and Cher Holton. Discover practical applications to bring 21st century metaphysics to work in your life. Here's your host, Paul Hasselbeck.
Welcome to another edition of Metaphysical Romp 2. This is the Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck. I'm delighted to be with you. It is definitely a beautiful day in my consciousness, even though it's cloudy outside. Hi, guys.
Hey, this is Reverend Dr. Cher Holton, and it is definitely another beautiful day in my consciousness.
And I'm cloud-free, too. It's definitely another beautiful day in my consciousness.
And you are.
This is Reverend Dr. Bill Holton, and we're glad to be with you again today. And as you know, Cher and I are the co-founders for a hybrid unity ministry called the Unity Center for Universal, YOUniversalProsperity.com.
Which you can get to very easily by doing UCFYP.com. We make it simple for you.
I like simple. And I have my website, paulhasselbeck.com, where you can find my blog, which is called The Absolute Word. And you will hear that at the end of this show. And it's also where you find my calendar, where I'm appearing via Zoom around the country and around the world sometimes, which is kind of weird and exciting to say.
Where in the world is Paul Hasselbeck?
The world is Paul Hasselbeck. You know, there are mornings I wake up still and I wonder where in the world I am. Okay, so welcome to the Metaphysical Realm podcast, where we look at spirituality, pseudo-spirituality, science, and pseudoscience. Woo! That's a mouthful. And we're on part three of a series, which focused around another wonderful article that's called 31 Important Things You Should Say No To for a Happier Life. 31 Important Things You Should Say No To for a Happier Life by Danny Forrest. And today we're looking at saying no to comparing ourselves to others. And Cher, take it away.
Yeah, this was a really interesting one. And we sometimes don't think we maybe compare ourselves to others, which is interesting because if you don't think you compare yourself to others as much as other people do, then how do you know that if you're not comparing yourself to others?
Exactly.
Just saying. In the article, what Danny Forrest says is comparing yourself to others, focus on yourself instead of your competitors, is what he says. And the quote that he uses is from Theodore Roosevelt, comparison is the thief of joy.
Yes, indeed.
And while we're talking about quotes, one of our favorite quotes comes from the great dancer, Mikhail Baryshnikov, who was an amazing ballet dancer. And he said, I don't try to dance better than anyone else, only better than myself.
Wow. There is self-confidence and conviction.
Sure is.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it reminds us that the goal is always for improvement. Any comparison we do, it's for our improvement, not necessarily to put ourselves down, which is what happens lots of times when we compare.
When I saw the title of this one last week, and now as I said it again, I'm wondering if this relates to those mirror neurons we have in our minds, is that, or in our brains, I should say, because we have these mirror neurons where we automatically, subconsciously or unconsciously, mirror the actions of others that we're with. And how could you be doing that if you weren't unconsciously comparing?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Makes a lot of sense. Yep.
Interesting.
It really does, yeah. And this is one particular item that the comparing to others, because we love this article, the whole article, but he doesn't really go into a lot of detail. And I did find an article that goes in more depth about why we compare ourselves to others. And if it's okay with you guys, I'd love to share one little piece from that, kind of take a little sidetrack from Danny's article for a minute to just build on it.
I don't think it's a sidetrack at all. I think it's adding information because while this is a great piece of work, it's also very slimmed down. And adding more helps understanding.
Right. Yep. And so this article, and the article I found, let me just cite it so people can go and find it. And I will put the link on our website as well, on our Metaphysical Romp website. It's called Why We Compare Ourselves to Others, or Why You Compare Yourself to Other People and How to Stop. It's by Jordan Harbinger. And what he did is he went back in from this psychologist who actually was in the 1950s. The psychologist's name is Leon Festinger, F-E-S-T-I-N-G-E-R. And he was a social psychologist who basically said that people evaluate their opinions and abilities by comparing themselves to other people for two reasons. First, to reduce uncertainty in the areas in which they're comparing themselves. So we're not sure how we stack up. So we want to compare ourselves to others to see. And second, to learn how to define themselves. And so he calls this the social comparison theory. And what he pointed out is that the tendency to compare ourselves to another person decreases as the difference between our opinion or ability and the other person's increases. In other words, the more similar we are to another person in some way we think is important, the more we tend to compare ourselves to that person. So how we value the person in our mind mm-hmm. has an impact on how we compare ourselves to them.
Wow.
Which I thought was really interesting. And he begins to look at, do we compare ourselves to people that are outside our reach? And it's kind of like, I went back to when we were doing our ballroom dancing, just as a comparison. Do we compare ourselves to the pros who are winning gold medals in international competition? We're never going to measure up to that. Or do we look at other people who are there who may be winning gold medals in the beginner category when we first started? And if we look at them, we can learn what we need to do. But if we compare ourselves to the pros, we're always going to get frustrated and it's going to destroy our self-esteem instead of build it.
Well, what's really interesting is that's how competitions are set up. As you're moving up through the ranks, you're put with people of similar abilities.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that kind of what makes it fair. If you think it and about it another way, you guys know, I don't know if our listeners know, but I've gotten a little bit into playing a couple games. One of them is Ticket to Ride and the other one is Catan. And what I'm finding is as I'm playing with my friends, if I'm playing with someone who is not up to speed yet, the game is boring. If I'm playing with someone who's a lot better than me, it's boring because the outcome is predictable.
Interesting.
So being on similar levels really makes a lot of sense. And you can't do that unless you're doing what? Comparing.
And you want to compare. You want some people who are a little better so you can learn from them so you don't stay at your level.
Yes.
But not so far ahead unless you're doing a coaching, which is the difference between comparison and growing. That insight just came because there are times we put ourselves in a position where we know the person's a lot better and it's with the intent to grow from it.
So I'm wondering if there is good comparison and bad comparison and we shouldn't avoid all comparison. Did that other article say anything about that, Sherry?
As a matter of fact, it does. And one of the things I have starred.
And I'm thinking too, now that you say that, Paul, good versus bad, if you will. Realistic versus accurate comparisons, that kind of thing. I'm wondering if people who have an external locus of control are the ones who compare themselves more to others versus people who have an internal locus of control, recognizing that their success, for example, depends on them and how they think as opposed to comparing themselves to someone else. So I'm really thinking this comparison theory as such would probably apply more to people that have an external locus of control.
I think you're right. And it would
just make sense.
An unhealthy external locus of control.
Exactly.
And another realm in which I'm thinking about this, actually two different realms. One is going to the gym. And it took me a while to realize I had to keep a record of what I was doing because I was comparing what I did previously to what I'm doing now and not looking at what other men in the gym were doing. This is getting back to the dancer quote. And then to bring it a little bit into the spirituality realm, and this comes under a similar topic when we were talking about perfectionism, comparing ourselves to Jesus. Or comparing ourselves to God and always coming up short. And so it's like we're comparing ourselves in two different leagues of capacity. And then all that does is build low self-esteem.
And that ties into practices as well, like meditation.
Yes.
People compare themselves to, well, the, Paul meditates for hours in a day. I'll never be able to do that. So, and then what this article says is when we get frustrated by those kind of comparisons, then we tend to put the other person down in our mind and find reasons to denigrate what it is they're doing.
Oh, so there's a tendency for us to knock them down a peg or two?
Right, right.
Ooh, well, that's really getting into the
dark. So that there's less distance we've got to travel to equal the comparison. If we move them more toward us.
Oh, wow. So here I go, guys. Here I go. In traditional Christianity, Jesus is the great exception and celebrated.
Yep.
We could say, unity knocks Jesus down to the great example. Right?
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
There's a thought.
There's a thought. Just questioning an answer here, guys.
Yeah. Of course, another way to look at that is traditional religion puts Jesus in a place where we can't help but feel bad about ourselves.
Exactly. Yes. Yes.
So we knock him down so we can feel better. Yes. Put those two together, perhaps.
And it's also interesting, and this is a little something that a lot of folks may not be aware of because they haven't been taught this, but when you look at the story of Yeshua or Jesus, 98% of the information we have about Jesus is in the Gospels and the Christian New Testament. Even Josephus, who was a writer at the time, mentions Jesus once or twice, I think, in his writings, and there are no other writings that refer to this Jewish savior from Palestine.
Very, very interesting. Mm-hmm. So should we look at what Danny Forrest had to say?
Let me just do one other little clarification about the comparison, that the two things, because I just kind of want to tie that together, the two ways we compare ourselves, one is we're trying to figure out how good we actually are in comparison to others, and the other is trying to make ourselves feel better.
Yes.
So one is positive, one is negative. And here's the quote: recognizing the difference between these two motivations for comparison is the key to separating out healthy comparison from unhealthy comparison.
Yeah, that's tied back to spirituality, because it can be unhealthy to be comparing ourselves to other people we know on the spiritual path.
Yeah.
Look how far they are. Look where I am. Right. You know, that kind of.
True.
Yeah. And so, I've had people say that, like the retreat we're going to do. One of our coaching clients said, you know, I really want to come, but I'm not sure I'll fit in. I don't think I'm at the level where I'll be able to keep up. And so it was real interesting to explore what she was thinking and to kind of dig deeper into that comparison that she had been doing. I never really thought about it being a comparison, but she was comparing herself to what she thought or where she thought she was versus other people.
Oh, you just triggered a memory, and I wish it was triggered before the show. There is a wonderful quote in How to Let God Help You, or probably Healing Words, where Myrtle Fillmore is responding to a person who, in her letter to Myrtle, she's saying, speaking about what her perception is of Myrtle's life and the people she associates with. And Myrtle calls her out on that in her usual very nice and gentle way. Maybe we'll share it next week. I know where it is, but I don't want to stop the show to do that. But just know that Myrtle recognized that happening decades and decades ago of how people do that comparison thing.
Interesting.
Yeah, and I think we all do that at a place where we don't have the confidence in what we know. We haven't yet allowed ourselves to see ourselves at that, in that ability.
Yes.
Where we're not still, we don't feel we own it. Maybe that's it. You know,
why it's so important that we, when we're working with people in our classes or even doing our talks, honoring the progress people have already made. Mm-hmm. You know, and we beat ourselves up for the progress we're not making, but we don't congratulate ourselves for the progress we have made.
Yeah.
And that brings us back to unique teaching. We've got to be grateful for what we've accomplished. We've got to be grateful for what we have, because that grows that in our awareness.
Yes.
And what's interesting is, when you think about it, part of our self-denigration, if you will, just what we're talking about here, comparing ourselves to others, mm-hmm. particularly with new information and questioning our ability to keep up or to arrive at the level that this person's talking about, I wonder if that's got a relationship then to the chemicalization that Unity talks about. When you hear new information, and there's a resistance, if you will, to that new information.
Makes sense. That makes a lot of sense.
It does make a lot of sense. And we just may have to do a little different show next week. I just found another quote from Charles Fillmore of how that, I mean, we've talked about being a natural process, but he addresses it more fully in this quote. So we can talk about that off show.
And folks, tune in next time, because I think we're going to be continuing this. This is an interesting, this is a lot deeper topic than it appeared on the surface, because I think it really hits where we all are. And we do, that's why we ask people questions like, does this make me look fat? You know, you want to know, and we do compare ourselves to others. And I think a lot of it does relate to lack of personal confidence in our ability.
Now, on the other hand, if somebody asked you, do I look dope? That's a good thing.
And so that's related to the 12 powers, for goodness sakes, because I've been saying for quite some time now, the power of wisdom and the power of understanding are working together to compare and contrast.
Yes.
And that we are evaluating machines. We are judging machines. Mm. And part of it is, what is my place in this world? Mm-hmm. And do I matter? Mm. And that do I matter question, it's turning out that this one person I've been reading recently says that the amygdala is always asking two questions. Am I safe? Do I matter? Am I safe? And do I matter? And it then triggers biochemistry in response to that.
Yep.
And so comparison could be, do I matter? Mm-hmm. Am I safe? Wow.
Which again can trigger the fear that I don't matter enough to fit in with a group that I feel very valuable, that I want to be part of perhaps, or be seen in a certain way.
Yes.
And that's part of that comparison. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I shared this with you guys yet. I think I have, but I had this aha moment a few weeks ago that fear, we have fear response because we love.
We did have a talk about that. And I think that's so powerful.
Fear is a response we have. So when a person is seeing if they're checking in, they're checking to see if they're safe. Mm-hmm. If I matter, they're afraid because they love themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's such a good idea. Okay, shall we go to his article?
Can I do one more thing?
There's more.
But wait, yes, this is important. This is the last thing I wanted to share from the article, is social media and the impact that social media has had on our ability of comparison, because now we're not really comparing ourselves based on our perception. We're comparing ourselves to the perception somebody else is projecting of themselves that they want us to believe.
Yes.
And the quote I want to share, because I just think this is a wow quote.
This is a killer quote.
You guys know what we're going to say. Yep. We're comparing our blooper reel to someone else's highlight reel.
I love that.
Isn't that great? We're comparing our blooper reel to someone else's highlight reel.
It's perfect.
Yes, that is such a great thing to be reminded of. And I think what we ought to do is we ought to now just go into a tease for next week's podcast, because I think we're going to come back and we're going to talk about Danny Forrest's article a little bit, the things he said, which really summarizes some of what we said. And we can then talk about that Charles Fillmore quote and talk about that Myrtle Fillmore quote and go into a little more depth about it.
Yep.
So stay tuned for, so that's going to be 2020-32. We're going to be looking at that metaphysical romp too. And so for now, we're going to pivot to the absolute word, which is based on Sunday messages appearing in Daily Word, a copyrighted Unity publication, and has been used with permission. And this comes from Sunday, September 13th, 2020. And guess what the word is? Love.
Isn't that interesting?
I lovingly open my heart to others. Unity's co-founder, Charles Fillmore, said, "God is love, man is loving." Unity's co-founder, Myrtle Fillmore, said, "God is love. We make divine love into loving. God is the principle of I use for loving. I am loving when I show my affection and give nurturing attention. I speak loving, positive words showing how much they mean to me. As my words affirm their goodness, beauty, and intelligence, I watch these qualities bloom like flowers blessed by sunshine. I extend my arms and embrace my family and friends with the warmth and comfort of unconditional love. I support them with compassion and care on their life's journey. I pray with those I love, knowing their innate divinity is love. I lovingly open my heart to others." Yes, indeed. I was having such fun reading that, and I was comparing myself to the idea of, so when I make videos, I'm wondering if I should have them scripted so that I don't have to redo them and redo them. Well, I can't read a script perfectly, so I might as well just keep doing it the way I've been doing it. So that was a useful comparison. Friends, listeners, we're so grateful that you listen to our podcast. As I've been saying, we do it for you and we do it for us. We're all growing our way to our greater awareness together. And thank you, Bill and Cher, as you have partnered with me on this journey.
Oh, it's our pleasure. We enjoy it. And we do learn a lot from this. So we thank our listeners for the opportunity to do it.
Yes. And we enjoy our journey with you, Paul. And just so our listeners know, if everyone else goes left, you go right.
There you go. Okay. Goodbye, everybody.